if the North Korean regime does not halt its nuclear program, we will act to stop it ourselves.
Tightening sanctions put on North Korea. It's Wednesday, September 13th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're on Facebook right now on VOA Asia. Also ahead, Pakistan has ideas to help Afghanistan. Rohingya refugee numbers swell. Contemplating Dreamers with reporter Ira Melman. Linking alcohol and cancer. Self-driving cars. It's all on today's VOA Asia. North Korea strongly criticized Tuesday the United Nations Security Council's decision to impose tough new sanctions against the East Asian nation and warned the United States it would experience the greatest pain for playing a leading role in the effort. North Korean Ambassador Han Tae-song at a UN-sponsored disarmament conference in Geneva said his delegation condemns in the strongest terms and categorically rejects the latest illegal and unlawful UN Security Council resolution. Han, without elaborating, said North Korea is poised to use, quote, a form of ultimate means. North Korea had warned before the latest sanctions were imposed that the United States would pay due price if it pushed for stronger sanctions. U.S. President Donald Trump told reporters at the White House Tuesday the new sanctions are just another very small step and nothing compared to what will ultimately have to happen regarding North Korea. The new round of economic sanctions against North Korea were in response to its September 3rd nuclear test of a possible hydrogen bomb. U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley addressed the Security Council late Monday.
Today we are saying the world will never accept a nuclear-armed North Korea. And today the Security Council is saying that if the North Korean regime does not halt its nuclear program, we will act to stop it ourselves.
If fully implemented, the new sanctions would significantly reduce North Korean access to international currency and fuel needed for its banned ballistic missile and nuclear programs by cutting a third of North Korea's oil imports, which Haley called the lifeblood of its efforts to build and deliver a nuclear weapon. By reducing by more than half the country's gas, diesel, and heavy fuel oil imports, while completely banning the import of natural gas and other oil substitutes. Banning North Korea's textile exports, currently its second most lucrative industry, which Haley said would cost Pyongyang almost $800 million a year. Prohibiting any country from authorizing new work permits for North Korean workers, another key source of hard currency for the Pyongyang regime. Haley said the purpose of the increasing sanctions is to convince the Kim government to end its threatening nuclear missile development program in exchange for sanctions relief, economic aid, and security guarantees.
We are not looking for war. The North Korean regime has not yet passed the point of no return. If it agrees to stop its nuclear program, it can reclaim its future. If it proves it can live in peace, the world will live in peace with it.
South Korea's presidential office said that the new UN sanctions send a united message that the international community will never accept a North Korea as a nuclear state. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe also welcomed the resolution and said Tokyo would continue to work closely with the international community to change Pyongyang's policies. The United States had sought much stronger sanctions, including a complete oil embargo, an asset freeze on leader Kim Jong-un, an authorization to use military force if necessary to interdict ships suspected of smuggling banned items. But China and Russia, which both hold veto power in the Security Council, would only agree to a compromise version enacted, and both expressed their determination to see a return to dialogue to resolve the issue. Many advocates for the Trump administration's maximum pressure strategy to coerce the leadership in Pyongyang to give up its nuclear program say this latest round of sanctions is still not strong enough. Regional security analyst Grant Newsham is with the Japan Forum for Strategic Studies in Tokyo.
It's really not comprehensive enough or serious enough, really cutting enough to cause the North Koreans any huge problems as I see it. But it does allow the Trump administration to say that at least it tried.
If this UN resolution fails to deter the Kim government, Newsham said the United States would be justified to pursue secondary sanctions against Chinese banks and entities that do business with North Korea. However, on Tuesday, some of China's major state-owned banks reportedly stopped providing financial services to new North Korean clients in what could be a sign of increased sanctions enforcement to prevent any U.S. retaliation. Beijing and Moscow have urged the United States to suspend its joint military exercises with South Korea in exchange for a North Korea nuclear freeze, but the U.S. representative to the United Nations dismissed the proposal as insulting. Our thanks to VOA correspondents Brian Padden in Seoul and Margaret Bashir at the United Nations for contributing to our coverage. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on voanews.com. Oil to keep flowing, but UN sanctions hit North Korea hard. The International Olympic Committee says North Korea crisis so far no threat to Pyeongchang 2018 Olympics. Pakistani Prime Minister offers joint patrols with Afghanistan. Rohingya Muslims flee Myanmar by boat, but payments demanded. South China Sea succumbing to pollution due to political impasse. Expanded coverage of these stories and a whole lot more are on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. Pakistan's prime minister has offered Afghanistan new methods of bilateral verification against militant sanctuaries. VOA's Aisha Tanzim reports the country is trying to shake off the reputation it harbors militants that attack Afghanistan.
Pakistan's Prime Minister Shahid Khaqan Abbasi said his country is willing to do whatever it takes to convince the world of its resolve against terrorism. He offered, for the first time, joint verification mechanisms to Afghanistan.
We are open to bilateral verification. We are open to joint patrols. We are open to joint posts. We will put up a fence there. The Afghans are most welcome to put up another fence on their side and control that border.
This is not the first time Pakistan has tried to dispel accusations it has terrorist sanctuaries. The country has tried hard, but failed, for the past several years to convince the world it is taking action against all violent extremists on its soil. The Prime Minister said details of the bilateral verification methods could be worked out at the operational level. In turn, he demanded Afghanistan needs to do more to fight terrorism against Pakistan.
If you want statistics, there's much more happening across the border from Afghanistan into Pakistan than anything that happens from Pakistan into Afghanistan.
Pakistan has launched several military operations to clear out militant hideouts from the northern tribal areas near Afghanistan's border. But the United States and Afghanistan claim the actions have been more focused on the Pakistani Taliban, militants that have challenged the Pakistani state. They charge that the groups focused on attacking Afghanistan or India have been largely left alone. Aisha Tanzim, VOA News, Islamabad.
Happening now in Asia, a month-long voluntary vote has begun that could eventually legalize same-sex marriage in Australia. Up to 16 million Australians will receive a mail-in ballot asking them to vote on the issue and mail it back by November. A new opinion survey says 70% of those questioned support same-sex marriage. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're always happy when you're able to join us for VOA Asia. Thanks for listening. The International Organization for Migration reports the number of Rohingya refugees who have fled to Bangladesh to escape violence in Myanmar has risen to 370,000. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva that the unprecedented influx of refugees has been reached in less than 3 weeks.
The UN Refugee Agency calls it an incredibly grave situation. It says many people who have arrived in Bangladesh say their homes and villages were set on fire, forcing them to flee. They report their family members were burned, shot, or slashed to death during flight. UNHCR spokesman Adrian Edwards tells VOA many Rohingya fled into the jungle or mountains, walking for days before reaching the land or border.
We've got high numbers of unaccompanied and separated children, problems of sexual violence, trauma injuries, bullet wounds. Trauma care is needed. Clinical management of rape, mental health, and other things are needed. It is an extremely serious situation.
The UN Children's Fund reports children, who represent 60% of all refugees, are at the heart of the growing humanitarian crisis. Speaking by telephone from Cox's Bazar, UNICEF Chief Child Protection Officer in Bangladesh, Jean Libby, says Rohingya camps are crowded with children who are in a fragile state. He says about 200,000 children, many at risk of waterborne diseases, are in urgent need of support.
You see children who have not slept for days, they're weak, hungry, after the long journey and the challenging journey. Many children are sick and need health care right away. Some children have also experienced difficult situations and are traumatized. There's a need of protection and psychological support.
UNICEF is providing safe drinking water and basic sanitation. Other aid agencies are ramping up assistance. A UNHCR emergency airlift landed Tuesday in the Bangladesh capital, Dhaka, carrying 91 tons of relief, including shelter materials, blankets, sleeping mats, and other essential items. The World Food Program has begun distributing bulk rice supplies to Rohingya refugees arriving in Cox's Bazar. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
This news alert from VOA Asia. The U.S. ambassador to Cambodia describes as baseless claims from the country's leader that the United States was involved in an attempt to overthrow the government. The accusation comes after Cambodian authorities arrested leading opposition politician Kem Sokha on September 3rd and charged him with treason. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features to see and share. This is VOA Asia. As we continue now with VOA Asia, California and three other states sued President Donald Trump's administration on Monday over his decision to end protections for people brought to the United States illegally as children, the latest bid by Democratic state attorneys general to salvage the policy. California's attorney general said Trump's move to rescind the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program that protected these immigrants from deportation and gave them work permits would be an economic travesty for the most populous U.S. state, which depends on immigrant labor. Minnesota, Maryland, and Maine joined California in filing the lawsuit in federal court in San Francisco. News of President Trump's decision to end the program has understandably focused on those so-called Dreamers from Mexico and Latin America. They by far represent the largest segment of the 800,000 who are facing deportation when the presidential decision goes into force. However, as VOA Asia's Ira Melman reports, another group of Dreamers has mobilized to make their stories known.
U.S. Congresswoman Judy Chu of California chairs the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus, a group of like organizations gathered members of the news media outside of the U.S. Capitol Tuesday.
We are here to fight for the 800,000 Dreamers, including the 130,000 Asian American Pacific Islander Dreamers who were brought to this country as children through no fault of their own.
One of those Dreamers is Ivy Teng Li, whose family brought her to the United States from China as a baby.
This is the only country I know. I pledge allegiance to the American flag. I sing the Star-Spangled Banner, and I'm proud to be an American. But my American identity has been challenged every single day. Dreamers like me have become a political football thrown around with no end in sight. with 800,000 of us, and DACA rescinded, we will lose our jobs, the economy will suffer, and the information we have given the government will paint a target on our backs.
I spoke with Representative Chu about how she believes the DACA decision by the U.S. president is resting with those around the world.
I am with BOA. We address our international audience. What do you say to that audience about how we got here and what that does to their expectations and the reputation of the United States?
America has always been the land of immigrants. It was built by immigrants. And in fact, America has in the past been the land that values diversity and tolerance. But we've seen a very, very disturbing turn in the last 6 months. And that was with the start of the presidency of President Trump, who's made xenophobic comments against immigrants for these past 6 months. And it's caused all these other people to come out of the woodwork, like white supremacists. They have come out and done these rallies. They have come out and taken even stronger stances against immigrants. It is very, very disturbing. And that's why we, the people who still believe in the Statue of Liberty, the Statue of Liberty saying, give me your tired and poor and the huddled masses yearning to be free, we have to uphold the symbolism of the Statue of Liberty and be the country that is welcoming of immigrants and refugees.
Do you think that Asian DACA holders are being underrepresented, underpublicized, and that thus the reason for this today?
You really touched on the key issue here. Thank you for doing that, because that's exactly why we had this press conference, because there is a lack of awareness across America that Asian Pacific Islanders are dreamers too. And so we want to make sure that people know that. There are over 130,000 dreamers in this country. And just to think of them being deported all by themselves back to these countries that they barely know, you know, that would be so cruel.
You think the recent communication between the president and Democratic leaders bears positive outcome?
It is very interesting that the president said, send a bill over, because it's different from what we'd heard before. I think that the president is feeling the pressure. After all, a member of his own diversity council resigned in huge protest because of his actions, and 60% of Trump supporters support DACA students. So I think that President Trump is feeling the pressure of the American people and the outrage of the American people, and that's why he said that. Nonetheless, we can't take anything for granted, and that's why we, the people across America, have to put pressure on our Congress members to sign the bill and vote for a DREAM Act bill.
Chu says over 7,000 Dreamers are from South Korea, 5,000 from the Philippines, 3,000 from Pakistan, followed by smaller numbers from other Asian and Pacific Island countries. Numbers from China are not yet available.
VOA Asia's Ira Melman. In announcing the DACA decision, Attorney General Jeff Sessions said the executive branch under then-President Barack Obama, through DACA, deliberately sought to achieve what the legislative branch specifically refused to authorize on multiple occasions. Such an open-ended circumvention of immigration laws, said Sessions, was an unconstitutional exercise of authority by the executive branch. This news alert from VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump is hosting Malaysia's scandal-tainted Prime Minister Najib Razak and praising his country's investment in the United States and the fight against terrorism. Trump said the two were working on very large trade deals, including $10 billion and $20 billion worth of Boeing commercial aircraft. Visit VOA Asia Facebook to share top stories and features. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, scientists have accused the liquor industry of misleading the public over the link between consuming alcohol and cancer. Henry Ridgewell reports researchers from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine compare the actions with the tobacco industry's attempts to dispute the link between smoking and lung cancer.
Researchers looked at the websites of 28 organizations around the world representing the alcohol industry and concluded that, by far, the majority distort or misrepresent the evidence of an alcohol-related cancer risk.
So what you might see is that certain health problems related to alcohol consumption are discussed on the website, but cancer is missing, or specific types of cancer are missing, particularly breast cancer or colorectal cancer.
The Washington, D.C.-based International Alliance for Responsible Drinking is accused of misleading the public over the risk of contracting specific types of cancer and trying to confuse the issue by highlighting a range of other risk factors. In a statement provided to VOA, the Alliance disputed the conclusions, saying, "We believe in sharing the current state of the scientific evidence and stand by the information that we publish on drinking and health." The report's authors compare the industry's actions with those of the tobacco giants, which for a long time disputed the link between cancer and smoking.
So in the UK, about 4% of cancers are attributable to alcohol consumption. I think what's important to remember is that the risk itself is quite low for people who consume at low levels. But the fact is that the information about the risk that is disseminated by these organisations is, as I say, distorted and misrepresented.
The report says further research is urgently needed into whether the alcohol industry is distorting information on other risks, such as cardiovascular disease. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
U.S. congressmen have approved a proposal for the deployment of self-driving cars and preventing states from blocking autonomous vehicles. The U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday passed the bill that would allow automakers to obtain exemptions to deploy up to 25,000 vehicles without meeting existing auto safety standards in the first year. That number would increase to 100,000 vehicles annually over the next 3 years. VOA's Slotika Hoke tells us that automakers and technology companies, including General Motors and Alphabet Inc.'s self-driving unit Waymo, hope to begin deploying vehicles around the year 2020.
Driverless cars have been produced for some time, and many businesses are interested in them, companies like Domino's Pizza that deliver goods to people's homes, senior citizens who can no longer drive.
When I have to go to the doctor or dentist or somebody, then I have to give 2 weeks' notice because we don't have enough drivers.
Commercial truck companies also are interested, but consumer groups questioning the safety of autonomous vehicles have blocked their deployment. Car makers and technology companies claim the cameras, lasers, sensors, radars, and other high-tech devices make them safer than traditional cars. On Wednesday, the industry cleared a major legal hurdle when U.S. representatives overwhelmingly passed the bill giving a green light to autonomous vehicles. A Republican from Oregon cited greater road safety of such high-tech cars.
Given the latest roadway fatality numbers, this technology is especially needed today. Almost 40,000 people lost their lives on our roads last year. That represents another yearly increase in traffic-related fatalities. And in my own state of Oregon, traffic fatalities were the highest they've seen in 14 years, up 20% from the prior year. Statistics tell us 94% of accidents relate to human behavior. During our morning commute into work, just look around. We see folks on their phones in the cars next to us doing other things.
The House measure does not include large trucks.
The fact that driver is the number one category of employment for men without a college education, there's some problems here. If we don't do it right, we can actually increase congestion rather than decrease it.
The Senate is working on a similar bill, and the two chambers will have to settle on a compromise version. Zlatica Hoek, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia can drive itself into your computer or smartphone if you subscribe to us as a podcast using iTunes, SoundCloud, or even our website, voanews.com. But you know what? There's nothing more fun than listening to the program over a real radio station, like Helps Radio at Help University in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. We thank them for carrying us and allowing you, at least in Kuala Lumpur, to hear us over the radio. We thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer Jim Harmon, managing editor Diane Gao, Ali Ogden, Ira Melman, and David Bird, part of our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead.